Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
So the Lord put on my heart this message, and I called it the Kingdom Benefits of a Thankful Heart. You know, it's pretty hard not to think about thankfulness or even preach about it on the heels of Thanksgiving. But you know, sometimes these holidays where we gather as families, it's tough for some. Some have no place to go. Some families are blown up and families are in hard places. And so sometimes Thanksgiving and Christmas and other holidays are a little bit tough. So we need to look past those things and really look at the Lord and see what is he speaking to us in this time, and just to really look and see what it is that he's placing on our hearts, you know, and to look at the opportunities that we have for us before us, those of us who are going to gather with family members. Where I'm gathering, most of them don't know the Lord. In a superficial way, some of them maybe. Sometimes I get to pray at Thanksgiving, sometimes I don't. And so this time I'm hoping that I do. And I'm thinking about this time handing out a piece of paper and asking them to write things that they're thankful for outside of their friends, their cell phone, their wireless company, their, you know, superficial stuff, and ask, you know, just to put on their hearts and to share that. I've not done that before in my wife's family, and so I'm thinking about doing that, and so maybe we'll just blow that thing up right from the very beginning, huh? Just see what happens. But you know, they are open to it, and they see the Lord's hand in their lives, and so I just feel like it's so busy when we get together, we just need to really stop and give thanks to the Lord in that place, huh? So a thankful heart. You see, the heart is the seat of our emotions. So what do we say sometimes? Put your whole heart into it, right? Give it your whole heart. I love you with all my heart. So the heart is the seat of our emotions. And when we get saved, where do we ask Jesus to come into? Come into our hearts and set up lordship, right? Take up residence, Lord. Come into our hearts. So the heart is the center of our will and our emotions. And we need to be wholehearted. You know, it can't be the scriptures tells us to not have a divided heart. In Deuteronomy 1:36, the Lord speaks of Caleb, and he says, I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. God looked upon Caleb, and he said, you know what? That guy, he follows me with his whole heart. You know, and that's where I think each one of us want to be able to say that the Lord looks upon our lives and says, hey, this guy or this woman, they really follow me wholeheartedly. They're not swayed from one place or another. They're not easily swayed away from me. In Matthew 12:34, in the NIV, it says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is in your heart will eventually come out. Out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. And a lot of times things come out at the most inconvenient times, right? It's pretty hard to stuff things down there forever, because sometimes it comes out. And how many of you know when something comes out of your heart and it comes out of your mouth, you can't take it back right away. Once you've said it, you can't hit rewind. You can't, you know, it just, you can't take it back sometimes. You have to deal with what you've said, because it's in your heart. It came out. So whether it's good or bad or ugly. In Proverbs 16:20, it's just that that's the thing that happens sometimes. In Proverbs 16:23, it says, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. So a wise man lets his heart guide his mouth. So I just love that verse. You know, so the Lord knows what's in our heart, and he knows that sometimes if it comes out, it's not going to be pleasant, or it's not going to be good for us. And sometimes it is. Sometimes I'm surprised by the things that have come out of my mouth, you know. And when I was working at a factory when I first got saved, and I thought I could live in this Christian bubble, just me and Jesus in this bubble, and I don't have to deal with all these factory people, just me and Jesus. Well, he popped that bubble real quick. There was one guy who was a really angry person, And he got betrayed in the church and all this stuff. And so I saw him coming. He was a great big muscle guy. And I saw him coming. I said, oh, no, man, here he comes. I think he might have heard. So he comes up to me. He says, I heard you became a born-again Christian this weekend. And I said, yep. I said, actually, it happened a while ago. And he said, I can't wait to see something terrible happen to you to see what you're made of. And out of my mouth said, how do you know it hasn't? Oh, man, who said that? You know? I said, how do you know it hasn't? And he looked at me really funny, and he walked away, and he came back a half hour later, and he apologized for saying that. And he said, blessings on your journey if you're going to try to be, especially a Christian in this place. So that was the beginning of an incredible journey. I thought about that later. I said, man, Lord, you set me up. But I really thought about what those words that came out of my mouth were in my heart. You know, how do you know it hasn't? So he's waiting for something terrible to happen. So how do you know it already hasn't? And I've handled it well. And so it was really an interesting time. Proverbs 3, 1 through 6 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace will be added to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight, or he'll direct your paths. You know, so we have a tablet of our heart. You know, I love these kind of tablets. I got a million of them. I got one for everything in my life. So I like these tablets. So I'm looking at this thinking, a tablet. So my heart, there's a tablet of my heart. You know, stuff's written down. It's an account. When I write stuff down in this tablet, it's an account of what I want to write down. So when we have a tablet in our heart, it's the things that we want to have an account for those things. So here he says, but let your heart keep my commandments. And here's the promise. If your heart keeps his commandments, it says for length of days and years of life and peace will be added to you. So that's one of the few places in the Bible where it talks about adding life to you. And it says our days are numbered by the Lord, but yet this is a place where it says another one is a promise of those who honor their parents, that long life will be for you. And so here's one place where it says length of days and years of life and peace. How many of you have a little bit more peace in your life, right? It says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. So kindness and truth are two pillars that the Lord wants in our hearts, that he wants us to write on the tablets of our heart. Kindness and truth. He wants it always in there. It says, so then you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. You know, it's if we bind these things around our neck and we keep them on the tablet of our heart, you know, then things will be good for us with God and with man. And it's really interesting how the closer we are with the Lord and the more time we spend in his word, the more favor that we have with men around us, with people around us. You never know what's going to happen around us. And so it's just really interesting. You know, trust in the Lord and with all your heart. So there's the heart again, the seat of our emotions. Trust the Lord with everything that you have, everything that you have to offer him, everything that's in your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. You know, so look at the benefits here. They'll add length of days and years and peace to our lives. I just love this whole passage here because there's so much meat in that promise. There's so much promise here for us. But it's up to us to hide those things in our hearts. It's up to us to keep them on the tablet of our heart. It's up to us to write those on the tablet of our heart, to be able to write those things down, to have them on the tablet of our heart. You know, and it's like I just kind of sense there's a tablet of our heart, and I see the Lord picking up the tablet of our heart and going, oh, wow, look at that. He's put more peace in his life. Look at the grace that he did. Oh, look at the forgiveness that he did. Wow, he extended forgiveness to that person. I didn't think he'd ever do that. You know? So what's in the tablet of our heart, it's accessible to the Lord at any point to look into the tablet of our heart to see what's in there. Negative, positive, whatever we have written on the tablets of our heart, it's accessible to the Lord. Do we take an inventory of what's in the tablets of our hearts? Is there graceful and kind words in there? Is there hurtful words? Is there forgiveness or is there unforgiveness and bitterness? Is there a list of people that I don't think we'll ever forget? That I'm not going to ever forgive them. As I started down this journey, man, my life was full of teachers and coaches and neighbors and things that the Lord had me deal with people that I've had bitterness towards in my life. And he just continually eradicated that stuff from my life and took it from one place of the tablet of my heart, from a bad place to a good place, in a place of forgiveness, in a place of reconciliation. Is there, in the tablet of your heart, is there thankfulness or is there entitlement? It's really interesting. Entitlement is thrown around this young generation a lot. And thankfulness is something that we really need to put out there. We need to be able to have a culture of thankfulness. So what are you keeping in the tablet of your heart? Is there a list of wrongs that someone has done to you? Is there a list of your offenses that you're going to hold on to till maybe I'll let go of them one day? Is there a list of things that you won't forgive yourself for? Is there a list that says, you know what, I can forgive others and I can do this, but man, I don't think I can ever get past this thing that I did and screwed up my life and this is where it's at. So is that in your tablet of your heart? Things that you'll never forgive yourself for? But is there a list of pardons that someone has graced upon you? Or is there a list of pardons that you forgave someone else when you never thought you would? Is that in there? So when's the last time that you've inventoried the tablet of your heart, and have you ever really thought about it in that way? I really want a clean tablet before the Lord, you know. I want a good tablet. I want a tablet that the Lord would be proud of, a tablet of my heart that says I'm on a journey with him. I'm in a good place with him and that I honor him and there's grace in my life and there's things in my life that he's doing. I don't want anything to hinder the Lord's hand in my life, and I'm the one who can hinder that. So I just want a really good tablet of my heart. I just sense tonight, during worship, I sense this, that the Lord is wanting to break some yokes and some chains through the culture of thankfulness. Through having a lifestyle of thankfulness, I just really feel like the Lord is wanting to break some chains. Because it's sometimes, you know, what's one of the earliest things that we teach our kids? You know, tell them thank you. You know, tell them thank you. You're welcome. That's one of the earliest things that we teach our children. And I think that's one of the earliest things that the Lord is teaching us. To be able to have a thankful heart, to have a culture of thankfulness. In Proverbs 7, 1 through 3, it says, my son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Here's another promise and a condition. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Here it is again. Now he's talking about his commands that are within you. Keep my commands and you'll live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. This is Proverbs 7, 1 through 3. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Hold on to them. If we bind them on our fingers, it's holding on to them. Holding on to the promises that God gives us in his word. Holding on to his word. There's so much life and goodness in his word. We need to hold on to it. And write it on the tablet of our heart. See, when the Lord looks at the tablet of our heart, how much of our heart is directed through his word? The choices that we make, the decisions that we make, are they directed through his word? And is that in the tablet of our heart? It says, hold on to the commands. Hang on to them. Store them up within you. In the teachings, guard your teachings as the apple of your eye. That's the apple of our eye is something that catches our greatest affection. The apple of our eye. So his word should catch our greatest affection towards it. Proverbs 13, 12 in the New American Standard says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is the tree of life. You know, there's nothing like a hopelessness to drag a person down. You know, when people get into a spiral of hopelessness, it's a hard thing to overcome on your own. It's almost impossible to overcome on your own. And it's really hard if you see someone in hopelessness to pull them out of that pit. It's a really hard pit. It's got a lot of grip. And it's a really hard place. But then in Proverbs 17, 22, it says, a joyful heart is good medicine. We could just camp there for a long time. A joyful heart is good medicine. You know, I just remember, you know, my mom, we grew up a lot. My mom came from Poland, man, and we had a lot of home remedies, and some of them were just plain nasty, you know, and they were not good medicine, you know. I maybe got well from some of it, and some of it I didn't. But a joyful heart is good medicine. But even when my mom would give us nasty medicine, she always sang over us. So there was a joy about that in my mom. It says, a broken spirit dries up the bones. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. You know, there's something about when someone is brokenhearted, that's a hard thing to overcome on our own too. But it's only through the Lord that we can heal from a broken spirit, to have that joyful heart and have good medicine. You know, it brings health to us, a joyful heart. So what condition is your heart in? Is it a broken spirit? Do you have a joyful heart? And then do you have a heart condition? You know, heart conditions need medicine. You know, sometimes the valves don't work right. Sometimes there's they're out of rhythm, you know. And different things happen with our hearts in the physical. But in the spiritual, what condition is our heart in? So I love this promise. So because of what goes on in the tablet of our hearts has everything to do with the length of days and life and overall health. So these two passages that talk about the tablet of our heart has everything to do with promises of peace to us, promises of length of days and length of years and overall health. It's just absolutely amazing to me that these promises. You know, I've seen in years of working with people as a pastor, and even before as a pastor, I've seen bitterness affect someone physically. I've seen people go to their grave, I believe an early grave, because they would not give up their bitterness, their anger, their frustration, and their unforgiveness. And they don't deserve to be forgiven, you know, and they need to crawl back to me and ask for forgiveness. And I would just try to work with them and say, you know what, you're poisoning yourself, you know, you're affecting your own life, and trying to be able to work with people. And I've seen several people that I know that went to an early grave because they would not give that up. And there was they just had one hell thing after the next thing after the next thing, and they never did give that up. And so that was just, it was a hard thing to watch, you know. And then I've watched natural inheritances rip families apart. People fighting over the most silly things. I want grandpa's fork. You know, I've seen families fight over taking the gold out of grandma's teeth. She had at least, you know, and that's, I think a lot of families have heard about that one, you know. And so there's just the craziest things. But, you know, we're co-heirs with Christ. Jesus isn't fighting us for inheritance. He's not fighting us for the Father's fork. He's not fighting us for those things. He's willing to share. Everything that is available to Jesus is available to us. He is not fighting us. He's saying, you know what? Take it. Everything I have is yours. He's not fighting us at all. So here's a question. Where does thankfulness rank on the tablet of your heart? Would you consider yourself a thankful person? Are you known for your thankfulness? So I want to kind of shift from our heart to looking at thankfulness and how it affects our hearts and the benefits. Psalm 107:21 in the New King James says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men." Oh, that this sounds like a longing. "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, his wonderful works to the children of men." You know, Moses knew God's ways, but he knew God's heart, but he let his ways known to the children of Israel. But Moses really knew God's heart. But that we would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." We don't give thanks because we feel good. We give thanks because he is good. No matter what's going on in our lives, I tell you, the best time and best place to ever give thankfulness is when you least feel like it. When the car is blowing up and this is happening and all these things are going on in our lives, and to just stop and give thanks to the Lord. Because he says, count it all joy when we go through trials. So sometimes it's really hard to say, to stop in the middle of a trial and say, Lord, I thank you for this trial, because you're going to do a deep work in me that I can't do on my own. Thank you for allowing this circumstance into my life, that you are bringing about a greater grace in me. You're bringing about greater things in me. You're bringing about your character more in me that I couldn't achieve, Lord, if you didn't allow this trial in my life. That's a hard prayer to pray. But I tell you, when you can look back on a trial, when you're in the middle of it, that's hard. But when you can look back and see how you hung on to the Lord and how you prayed through it and how you kept your eyes on the Lord and you get through that trial, you say, man, I really grew in this area. I grew in this area and I grew in this area, and I could have never done it had the Lord not allowed that into my life. It's a hard place to pray. It's a hard journey, but it's a really satisfying journey. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I love to give this verse to people who say, Stan, will you help me pray? I don't know what the Lord's will is in my life. And I say, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Start there, you know? And I know what they're asking, like they have decisions to be made, and they want to know what their calling is, and they want the bigger picture, but they put that phrase on it, I want to know what God's will is for me. Well, this is a really good place to start. Rejoice always. You could camp there for a long time. Rejoice always, not when you're feeling good, not when that pain in your body stops, not when just when that check comes in, or just when the finances are there. Rejoice always. To have a heart of rejoicing. To just be able to be a person that is always rejoicing in the Lord. It's tough because this world is tough. People are tough. Circumstances are crazy. This world is so unstable. Our economy is so unstable. Everything is unstable. But yet, we need to be able to rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. To always have a spirit of prayer, to always be able to pray without ceasing, just to pray in that moment. I have a lot of trees in my yard, and I'm raking and raking and raking this time of year. People say, what are you doing? I say, leaving a lot. But, you know, I found myself today just really praising the Lord for his, you know, my wife said, hey, look out the window. It was a beautiful sunrise. You know, if you stay inside for like 5 minutes, you'll miss the peak of the sunrise or a sunset. And it was just absolutely beautiful. And then through the sunrise, I'm seeing all the work in front of me, all the leaves that are hanging around. But I found that today I was just thanking the Lord for each and every tree. And I had some trimmed in the spring. And I thanked the Lord for my Christian friends who came and cut some things down that were making one tree was unsafe by my house. And just begin to thank the Lord for his design of the fall, that the leaves come and go and the beautiful colors that they are, all the things. You know, so in the midst of working and trying to find the best in it, be able to give thanks for the Lord in that moment. It says, pray without ceasing in everything. It doesn't say because of everything or in spite of stuff. It says in everything. So that means the good stuff that comes your way, the tough stuff that comes your way, in everything give thanks. You know, somebody comes and yells at you for no reason. Lord, I just give you thanks that I didn't beat that person up right now. So there's just to be able to have a culture of thankfulness. It's always in you. It's quick to come out of you. It's quick to be recognized in you when you have a culture of thankfulness in your life, if you've cultivated that in your life. So no matter what we go through, I was reading a devotion today, and this pastor told a couple stories, and they were funny, and so I'll repeat them to you. He said there was this roofer, and he was working on a 3-story house, And he was kind of cocky on his abilities, and he slipped. And he found himself sliding off the roof. And he had a few moments. He says, "Oh, Lord, help me, save me. I don't want to die." And just then, his belt got snagged on a nail. He said, "No problem, God. I got this. This nail saved me." So instead of looking at the Lord answered his prayer, he's looking to the nail that, you know, and so there's times when what do we focus on when we ask the Lord for things? And there was another one where somebody was praying about finances, and they're crying out to the Lord, crying out to the Lord. And unbeknownst to them, someone had sent a rebate check that they had got, and they sent it to their house. And so they wanted these people to have it. And they're like, "Don't worry about it, God. I got this on the rebate check." So that's what we do. We're crying out to the Lord. But when he goes through the circumstances of putting on someone's heart to send us the rebate check, we don't thank the Lord for it. We just say, "I got this, Lord. A rebate check came. I'm good." You know, so we need to be able to give thanks to the Lord in all things, for all things. There's been many self-made men in my life that are the hardest nuts to crack. Those are the hardest ones to come into the kingdom. And it's usually the men of the generation before me. That one particular man built his own house, had a great job, great family, did all this stuff. And he said, "You mean to tell me that I worked hard all my life, that I built this house, I saved that money, I did this, and I'm supposed to thank God for all of that that I did?" And I said, "Yeah, because God afforded you that. He gave you the body to work hard. He gave you the mind to be able to build your own house. He gave you all these things." And eventually, he became a Christian. And that was one of the toughest roads that he had to go. But he finally did acknowledge that God's blessings in his life. And so I've seen many, many guys like that, and particularly men that are self-made men, that it's hard for them to come to that salvation experience in Jesus to be able to give him the thanks for everything that they feel that they have earned in their lives, and that they have done, and they have worked at, and they've done in their lives. So it's a really tough place to be. See, the proper thankfulness in our hearts keeps the tablet of our heart in a good place. It keeps us from becoming embittered and greedy. It keeps us to be a giving people and a loving people. Colossians 2, 6, and 7 says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." So just as we receive Christ Jesus as Lord, in 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, "But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." When we just stop and concentrate on what the Lord has done for us, you know, look at your life before salvation, before your salvation experience. Man, I was on a path for death. And it was not good. And then I was angry. I was bitter. And I had all these emotions. And when the Lord broke in, it was just absolutely amazing. And so I just began to really to think about the thankfulness in your heart for what he accomplished for you. Man, I was eternally dead. Now I'm eternally alive in a moment's notice. Amen? And so to be, if that doesn't get you overflowing with thankfulness, then I don't know what else is going to do it. But that's where it's got to stem from. It's got to come from that place. And you know what happens when you overflow? It spills on the others around you. So if you're overflowing with thankfulness, it's contagious. It's absolutely contagious to those around you. So where were you at before you got saved? Were you on a collision course with death? How was it with you? He saved us. He seated us. We are seated with Christ in heavenly realms. Doesn't say we are going to be. Says we are seated with him. We are seated with him. Present tense. We are seated. That right there is enough to fill the tablets of our hearts. If we just proclaim who God is, proclaim who Jesus is, and what he's done for us in our lives. I come from a long line of angry people, and I remember spending a lot of my childhood under my bed with a pillow. My parents just thought, 1 to 10 was just normal. They should just scream at each other, you know. I remember many times waking up in the morning under my bed, and because I was hugging my ears. And, you know, it's just one of those things where it's hard to live in that environment of anger and all these things. And I come from a long line of them. And that was one of the first things I asked the Lord to take from me when I got saved. I said, Lord, I want to be a man of peace. I don't want the legacy of anger in my life. I don't want it. And, but you know, there was a process, but I was willing to go through the process, because when you pray like that and you ask the Lord, immediately there comes a challenge. Immediately somebody comes to you with something that's going to test that in you. But you know, there came a point when the Lord put a mantle of peace on me one time. I was going through a really tough time. And hard decisions in life and hard things. My mother-in-law was dying in my home of cancer, and it was just tough. And my wife looked at me one day, and she said, man, there is, like, peace on you. And she said, I could, like, feel it. I could almost, like, cut it. And she said, you know what? I'm going to take care of Mom. God's got you. I'm not going to worry about you, you know? And so there's many times when the Lord said, I put a mantle of peace on you. I haven't removed it. But you got to activate it. So there's times when I just have to do that. You know, it was really interesting. So this message is stirring in me today, and we stopped off and got a Starbucks, and I ran in. So I run into an old friend of mine, Doug, and this guy is contagious with thankfulness. He went to high school with my wife, and we've known him for years. He's one of six siblings. And it was just amazing running into him. He's had so many trials in his life. To see this thankfulness. His dad started a jewelry store, and it was a very successful jewelry store. Then he started a second one, and his dad died young, well, very young, and like four of the six kids were still in high school. And his mom kind of helped in the jewelry store. And then she just dove into it full time, and she made it work. And she took it to places and did things with it that they now have three very successful jewelry stores in town. And all of her six kids have worked in it, and now grandchildren are working in it. You know, and then so I watched Doug he went to college for gemology and stuff, you know, and I knew his wife, he married, and see all these things in his life, but he didn't let his dad's death at a young age embitter him. He just said they learned. He said they just learned to pull up their bootstraps as a family and go forward and make it work. And then, so I asked him how his son was doing. 10 years ago, son was working on his car, and he was changing a fuel filter or something, and something sparked, and it blew up on him, and he caught on fire. And he got it out, but his skin was burning. He had known, and he was driving himself to the hospital, and he nearly died. And Doug said, you know, I'm very thankful. He said, it was the hardest 2 years of rehab in my life to watch my son go through that. He said, but he works with me now at the store. He's got some physical limitations. He said, but I'm thankful. He said, he's with me. He's working with me in the family store. He's alive, and he's with me. And then we were talking about, asked how his siblings were doing. And we had talked before. His grandmother had MS, and four of his six siblings have MS. Two of them, it's very extreme. And one is a new case, and he was just talking about how that's in her family. But he was talking about how they overcome their obstacles, and they're still working in the family store, and they're still achieving and doing things. And he said, I'm thankful. He said, there's, even though this stuff has happened in their life, he said, they're a different people because they've gone through this stuff. And he said, it just, once again, it binds us together as a family, and we help each other out, you know? And I was thinking about this overflowing thankfulness. That's what he was doing on me. I'm thinking so many people could have become so bitter. I mean, some guys never got over the fact of a father died young. Life stops there. Bitterness takes over and anger takes over. But I didn't see that in him. I saw thankfulness that his they were able to rally around their mom and pull the family together and do this incredible thing with their business. And it's thriving to this day. So I thought about that. I thought, man, he is totally, he overflowed over me. And I always love running into him because no matter what's going on in his life, there's a positive spin on it. There's a thread of thankfulness. And I walked out of Starbucks and I thought, he has learned the culture of thankfulness. He has learned it. He lives it. He embodies it. I just love to be splashed by him whenever I run into him. I just love it. I thought, boy, Lord, you're good timing to run into him. I haven't seen him in probably 2 years. And Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. A lot of times people quote that verse and they leave with thanksgiving out. But in everything by prayer and petition, they say, present your request to God. It says, with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. With thanksgiving. You know, what if we did something radical? What if, before we gave a request to God, we gave three statements, at least three, of thanksgiving for the current request that's going to leave our lips? So, for instance, say you're going to ask the Lord for financial provision. Lord, thank you for that time that you gave me that check that came out of nowhere. Lord, thank you for the time that you provided for me in this situation when I didn't see a way. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you provided when I had this bill that I didn't know how I was going to pay for. And I thank you, Lord, for each of those times. And then you say, Lord, I find myself in a financial need again. So then what if you have a situation of reconciliation? So, Lord, I thank you for the way that you reconciled me to my parents when I didn't see a way through this situation of years of bitterness. Lord, thank you for my boss. And for years, we didn't see eye to eye. But Lord, now that we do through you. And so, Lord, I just thank you for this friend of mine that we were at odds for years, but now we've reconciled. So, Lord, I come to you at a place with I need reconciliation again in this place, in this person in my life. So I want to challenge you to do that before any request leaves your lips in any format. Give three, at least three praises that you remember in that same category. That's going to transform your prayer life, and it's going to cultivate that culture of thankfulness in your life. It'll absolutely do it. God cares deeply about the state of our hearts and our minds. In Hebrews 12:28, it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Let us be thankful. We're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We are inheriting a kingdom. You know, God's kingdom is eternal, and we're part of that, and it cannot be shaken. Our nation is shaken right now over an election. It's shaken. But we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So let us be thankful. So worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Our kingdom inheritance cannot be shaken. Our kingdom cannot be shaken. I'll read Psalm, part of Psalm 68 to you. Psalm 68, 4 through 6 says, sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song for him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord, and exalt before him. He is a father to the fatherless and a judge for the widows. Is God in his holy habitation? God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners in prosperity. So I just want to look at that and say, God, you know, if you have father issues with your natural father, he is a father to the fatherless. If you're a widow, he is a judge for the widows. He fights for the widows. Is God in his holy habitation? He makes a home for the lonely. There's so many lonely people, but they find their fulfillment in God. So I just really want us to look at all the things that God does for us to be able to cultivate a culture of thankfulness, to be able to give thanks when we're praying for things before we give him the newest thing on our list, to be able to have that thankfulness. Just like my friend Doug today, I left encouraged. I left, you know, thinking, man, this guy's had a rough, tough life, you know, and almost lost his son, all these things. And it's just absolutely amazing that that he makes it work, and that it there's a sincere smile about him. But, you know, we have our inheritance from the Lord is just an absolutely amazing thing. We're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So, Josh, you want to come up and play on the guitar a little bit? So I just really want to, I'd like to pray for you tonight. I'd like to have our ministry team pray for anybody. But so this is what my thought is. Is there something on the tablet of your heart that keeps you from living the thankful life that you desire? Is there something that's on the tablet of your heart that you're like, you know what? I've had that thing on the tablet of my heart for so many years, and I don't know how to get it off. I don't know how to get rid of it. It has been there forever and ever and ever. You know, and it keeps you from that culture of thankfulness. It keeps you from that place of praising the Lord. It keeps you from living the life that you desire to live, because that thing is there. So if there's something on your heart, on the tablet of your heart, that is keeping you from living the thankful life that you desire, I just want to invite you to come up for prayer. And let us agree with you today, and let's break that off, and let's just really give that to the Lord so that you can move past that, and you could move it from the hard place in your in the tablet of your heart to the good side. So, Lord, I just thank you for these tonight, God. And, Lord, I thank you for the tablets of our heart, God, that you care about them deeply. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you have sneaked in and looked. And they're good things that we've grown in you, and we have thankfulness. Lord, there's tough things on the tablets of our hearts, God. So tonight, Lord, I'm asking that you would come with your power, that you would come with your grace, Lord. That you would give those tonight courage to say, you know what? Tonight's the night that that gets out of the tablet of my heart. That bitterness, that unforgiveness. That thing in my life that's been a hindrance to me. So, Lord, I ask for the grace tonight, Lord. I ask that you come with your power. Come with your strength tonight, God. I ask that you do that, Lord. We're desperate for you, Lord. Would you take those things from us, God, tonight? We give you praise, Lord. We give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks, Lord. You are good and your mercy endures, Lord. We give you thanks. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for guiding and leading and directing. Thank you for your spiritual gifts in our lives, God. Thank you for the tough places and the hard things that you have taught me great lessons, God. We give you thanks tonight, Lord. For you, God. Come and do work in our hearts tonight, Lord. We don't want to carry out something that we've carried in, Lord. We want to leave it at the altar of prayer today, Lord. Give us the strength and the courage to leave it here, God, and not take it with us, Lord. We're desperate for you, Lord. We need you, God. You're a consuming fire, God. Would you burn that up in us, God? Thank you, Jesus.